From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
I'm engaged in a complex negotiation with the North Koreans, so I don't intend in this public setting to share the details of every conversation that took place in those. But I will attempt to answer your questions without disclosing the contents of the negotiation.
Well, that's Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who faced senators' questions on Russia and North Korea summits earlier today. Happy Wednesday. It's Hump Day. I'm Russ Jones, producer of Washington Watch, sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's great to be with you here today. Well, and yesterday, a conference report for the Fiscal Year 2019 National Defense Authorization Act was filed. The conference report is expected to receive a vote in the House tomorrow. It is on track to be the earliest an NDAA has been signed into law in 41 years. We'll talk with Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado in just a moment. And about every other day or so, it seems, the left, along with the mainstream media, they come up with the latest outrage, something to be just crazed about in confrontation against President Trump. Well, this week it's been charges that President Trump is, well, a dictator. Yeah, choked me up so much. We'll talk with Tim Graham of the Media Research Center a little later in the show. And this week, the State Department hosts the first ever ministerial to advance religious freedom. The event brings together government officials, representatives of international organizations, and leaders. And one of those leaders is FRC's own President Tony Perkins. He'll be here a little later in the program, live from that event, with the latest update on what's going on there. Well, as I mentioned, this week, lawmakers reached a deal on a massive defense policy bill that includes a 2.6% pay raise for service members and an increase in troops, equipment, and weapons for the Defense Department. And also, Secretary Pompeo, I used to live in Kansas for a number of years, got to know Secretary Pompeo quite well, holding his own today in front of senators. Well, with us now is Congressman Doug Lamborn. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Colorado, and he also serves on the House Armed Services Committee. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, it's great to be on this show again.
Well, hey, Congressman, to put things in context, back in the day, my wife and I used to own one of the largest Christian newspapers in the country, and we worked with you. We had an edition there in Colorado when you were a lawmaker there in the state. So it's kind of surreal for me to come full circle back about 10 years.
Fantastic.
Yeah, well, good to be with you. So just a quick overview here. You heard Secretary of State Pompeo meeting in front of the senators there today. Got a little contentious, but he's holding his own, isn't he?
Well, he's a strong guy. He's got backbone. I'm glad he's where he's at. I served with him in the House. And Secretary Pompeo is a conservative, and he's got backbone, and he's a great compliment to President Trump.
And he says no sanctions relief until Russia returns control of Crimean Peninsula to Ukraine. That was big news here today that we heard. And he also says he thinks it was appropriate to meet with the Russian President Putin.
Well, I know. And when he met earlier with the NATO folks and said you got to increase your defense spending, that is to have unified protection against a possible Russian invasion or war or something else. So it's anyone who says that the Trump administration is being soft on Russia doesn't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, well, there's been sanctions, and it seems like the media just wants to conveniently forget that. Isn't that right?
Exactly. And these sanctions are ongoing. You're right, the Crimean Peninsula and then that's very appropriate.
Now, you have been quite involved with the new NDAA with a two-year spending deal that lifts budget caps already in place. The midterm elections this fall and a more experienced administration. Seems like the lawmakers are eager to pass this. Tell us about it.
The Authorization Act is great. It does it increases missile defense funding. It gives a pay raise to our men and women in uniform. It does something really good. This is kind of a sidelight, but with Turkey, it says we're not going to continue giving you advanced arms like F-35s as long as you do things like keep Pastor Andrew Brunson imprisoned. And I have just heard today, Russ, that he has been released from prison and he's now under house arrest. So it's not a total solution, but it's a big step in the right direction. And that was because of Congress keep holding the line with Turkey.
Yes, that is a good first step, and I know they've been celebrating that at the ministerial that's going on there in Washington, D.C., and we're going to hear from our own Tony Perkins in a little bit on that. But that was built into the language, that's what you're saying, into the NDAA, is that right?
Exactly. So we do address things with our partners and allies or people who can be a better partner in this case, the country of Turkey. But we do so much with the NDAA to increase military funding and advanced weaponry and training our men and women for battle. It really was a huge step in the right direction.
So earlier this year, a budget deal allowed Congress to increase defense spending to $716 billion for 2019. There really is a commitment from this administration to bolster the military, isn't there?
There really is. I'm so heartened by that because after 8 years of Barack Obama, we had basically flatlined defense spending, and it was not increasing commensurate with the threats that are increasing out in the world. It was kind of derelict on the part of President Obama. So we're now restoring what should have been done all along.
And this year's NDAA appears to build on this momentum to grow the size and the might of the military in response to China, frankly, and Russia's growing capabilities as laid out by President Trump. It's a $686.1 billion defense budget proposed earlier this year. And so the request for fiscal year 2019, it included an increase of more than 15,000 active duty troops. And Congressman, being a lieutenant in the Mississippi State Guard, I hear from troops firsthand, and I know they're excited about that. And so you have been working hard to see that take place. Aren't you? Did I read that you're a conferee in this process?
Yeah, I was on the conference committee, and we just signed it this morning, and it's going forward.
So when do you expect it to come for a vote?
As early as tomorrow morning in the House.
And how do you think it's going to be received?
I think well. It's only a few changes that people are agreeing with. The House and the Senate had some compromises, but I think a lot of the House provisions were adopted in the final analysis, and I certainly support it.
Now, there were different versions. This, you know, the House and the Senate lawmakers met in conference committee to hash out the differences. What can you lay out what some of the differences might have been?
Well, that's kind of getting in the weeds, Russ, and okay. I'd be happy to talk about that. But I know we have limited time, and I also wanted to make sure we talked about the UNRWA bill that I'm working on.
Well, tell us about that.
Yeah, if that's okay. It's H.R. 6451. And the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, or pronounced UNRWA, was created in 1948, after the State of Israel was created in 48, to help resettle the 600,000 Palestinians. And by the way, it was the surrounding countries that invaded Israel in 48, not the other way around. Well, after 70 years, Russ, can you believe they've resettled zero of those Palestinians? And they say that number has swollen now to 5.3 million refugees who are all over the world. So this is a unique program under the UN. This is not like any other refugee situation or crisis in the world. You know, you think of Syria, you think of Burma and other places. There, the people get resettled within their lifetimes, hopefully within weeks or months. And they don't have children, and they don't have grandchildren, and it's confined to the immediate family. So it's because this agency has adopted a political agenda of the so-called right of return of Palestinians. It sounds like in perpetuity that someday Israel will maybe be destroyed or overcome by outsiders. And then everyone can go back in to the tune of 10 times the original number. And that is just a far cry from what this agency was originally created for. So I've introduced H.R. 6451 to get back to their – to require them to get back to their original mission, or they're not going to get U.S. taxpayer dollars. And they get about a third of $1 billion right now, Russ, each year.
And apparently the U.S. contributes, what, hundreds of millions of tax dollars annually to this agency?
Yeah, between $300 and $400 million each year, which is about a quarter of UNRWA's budget. They have 30,000 employees.
Wow. And so the bill ensures that the U.S. taxpayer dollars dedicated to refugees should only contribute to UNRWA to the extent that it resettles the original refugees.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. And in 2015, Congress told the State Department and told President Obama to count the number of people who qualify under the original definition, people who were there in 48 and so on. And they got that report back, and they classified the results. They would not tell Congress or the world what they came up with. And I'm trying to push, by the way, to release have that number released. But it's a fraction of the original number.
Now, were you able to see bipartisan support on this?
We're working. I just am in the process of getting original co-sponsors now. I'm hoping for bipartisan support. That's a great question. I'm really happy that CUFI, the Christians United for Israel, has come out and endorsed this, and they're making it one of their major, maybe their major legislative thrust this year. They announced that on Monday, and I spoke to the organization, Tuesday morning. And Pastor John Hagee and others are very excited about this, and I think we've got a great team working. I already have 10 co-sponsors, but we've just started.
So now it goes, you know, throughout the committee process, and when do you see it possibly being considered to become law?
Well, I'm hoping that it's not too late in this Congress, being that there's only 6 months left before the end of the year, and then a new Congress starts in January. If we don't get it passed, we're at least going to build momentum, and we're going to build public awareness and get buy-in from other members of Congress, hopefully in the Senate as well. And then we'll come out next year with an even more detailed bill than what this one is.
Well, that is good news, and appreciate your hard work on that. Please keep us up to date on that, would you?
Yeah, it's like with the Taylor Force Act. I was the House sponsor of that, but that took a couple of Congresses. It takes a lot of work to get the momentum and buy-in on these things.
Like they say, making legislation it can be sloppy at times, but it hopefully has a good outcome, right?
Russ, we will stay in touch, and we will keep you informed and discuss this as we go along.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate your work.
Thank you.
All right. That's Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado. Well, coming up next, the coverage of the leftist mainstream media, you know, the hits just keep on playing. It continues to reach new lows. Now President Trump's being called a dictator. Well, in just a little bit, when we return, we're going to talk with Tim Graham of the Media Research Center. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. All of this great content can be found on TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins, and you can follow me at R. Jones Reports. We'll be back in just a moment.
You've seen the news. Christian cake bakers and florists were targeted by LGBT activists for their beliefs about marriage and forced out of business. The Christian adoption providers are also being targeted for believing that children deserve a mother and a father to raise them. In 3 states and 2 large cities, faith-based adoption providers have been forced out of providing needy children with stable homes because of their beliefs about marriage, and this trend shows no signs of stopping. With the adoption rate in the United States steadily dropping for the last 17 years, discriminating against faith-based adoption providers will only make the problem worse by forcing agencies who serve children in need of loving families out of the marketplace. This is why laws are needed to protect these agencies at the federal and state level. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/adoption.
Let's keep the momentum going in this fall's election by voting your values. If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand for biblical truth and fight for faith, family, and freedom in the public square. To be equipped for this mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st through 23rd in Washington, D.C., and join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Invited and confirmed speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Diamond and Silk, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. On September 21st through 23rd, stand with Values Voters to keep the momentum going. Visit valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808 for more information.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the technology policy program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. I'm Russ Jones, producer of the show, and sitting in for Tony Perkins. Well, the hits just keep on playing, folks. Republican Senator Bob Corker recently accused President Donald Trump of behaving like a dictator. Yeah, just one of those, on an interview on MSNBC. And many of the liberal mainstream media says it's like, not like Prince's party in like 1999, but Orwell's 1984. Let's listen.
And just remember, what you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening.
While many politicians, of course, cherry-pick information, Trump's blatant request that people ignore their own eyes could literally be ripped from George Orwell's famous dystopian novel, 1984.
For a president of the United States to tell people to stop believing what they see or what they read, I mean, it's what dictators, it's what authoritarian rulers say. I mean, it's kind of unbelievable in the truest sense of the word. It reminds me of, you know, there was a quote from Orwell in 1984 said, "The party told you to reject the evidence of your eyes and ears. It was their final, most essential command."
Those comments that reminded some folks of Orwell's 1984, sales of which have spiked since Inauguration Day.
But how dangerous is his rhetoric? I mean, it's as though it was straight out of the book 1984.
Yeah, just like 1984, but it's 2018. And joining us right now is Tim Graham, executive editor of Newsbusters and director of media analysis at the Media Research Center. Tim, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you.
You know, Tim, I'm an adjunct professor, teach part-time online at Liberty University, and the class I teach is media and culture. Tim, I don't know what to tell these kids anymore about the state of our media. Can you help me out here?
Well, I think that if you're a journalist and you take those maxims seriously about you want to tell the story, you want to get it fair, you want to get it accurate, you want it to be factual, you want both sides to be heard, and sometimes you're going to say that one side's more factual than the other, but you're going to let both sides speak. And, I mean, that's not what we see in the news media today. And so, yeah, hearing this fact, I think President Trump said something that if you study journalism, you don't really like. He's joking. He goes, "Don't trust what you see or hear." And I think that was dot, dot, dot in the press. I don't think he was telling them to deny their own hearing and eyesight. But it's that notion of he's saying you can't trust everything you read, which I guess wouldn't come off as funny. The way that they all take a joke like that and turn it into, some folks say, which means liberal Democrats say, it reminds them of some George Orwell novel about a dictator or a totalitarian system. I think we all understand that when conservatives in the Obama years would refer to anything he was doing as comparable to dictatorship, they would have thought it was not only false, they would have suggested it was mentally ill or deranged. And that's where I think people have to be really more careful with their literary allusions or their metaphors, because there is too much on our social media where we exaggerate things far out of proportion, just where they'll take like this Handmaid's Tale miniseries and say it's eerily similar to today's America. No, it's not. It's not even close.
Yeah, and I think a lot of folks are taking what the media is saying with a big grain of salt these days. People are watching through a different kind of lens. And Tim, don't the media, and maybe they hate that. They used to be the filter for everything that came out of Washington, D.C. and kind of had, you've got to get our pass before you can pass go.
Well, yeah, so there's several things that have driven down the trust. Part of it is what the liberal media does, which is it still acts as if you can't get alternative information. So it shuts down stories it doesn't like. It tells one side of the story. It describes the other side of the story as evil. And it's easy then, again, for the Republican and the conservative voter to get the alternative information and say, why aren't you talking about this? And why aren't you giving the facts that conservatives or Republicans think are important and acknowledging them as facts instead of some sort of crazy conspiracy?
You're listening to Washington Watch. We're talking with Tim Graham, executive editor of Newsbusters and director of media analysis at the Media Research Center. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And folks, if you haven't perused Newsbusters, I encourage you to do so. I mean, you must never sleep over there, because there seems to be always something to report that's coming out of the media, how the media is twisting something. The negative anti-Trump stories have just been at a level I've never seen before.
No, it's definitely true. I mean, I think everybody knows this. I mean, we've done a series of studies of the evening news, just isolating the three networks in the evening news, and we find routinely that the coverage of Trump is 90% negative. We just have a new number out now where we're looking at just the stories on Trump and immigration. They are 92% negative in tone. And that's people who are, they're not trying to be fair and balanced. And I think the story they want to tell on immigration, as we just saw with this whole controversy over separating parents and children at the border, is they are like lawyers or advocates for illegal aliens. That's the way they come at you, like the public is the jury and they're the defense lawyer for the illegal aliens. And they, the prosecutor, in this case, metaphorically, isn't going to get airtime, or they're going to get attacked. I mean, that's so if you consider Trump and ICE as the prosecutors, they get such remarkably bad press. And the liberals now are actually saying that we need to abolish immigration enforcement. I mean, that's how crazy the sound of things are now.
Yeah. Well, Tim Graham, up against a hard break, thank you so much. You always seem to put things in perspective. Appreciate you coming on Washington Watch.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right. Yeah, folks, go check out Newsbusters online. Just loaded with information. Good, stories, not always real good stories, but informative stories about the media. Well, coming up next, we're going to talk with our own FRC's own president, Tony Perkins. He's at a gathering entitled The Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom. Religious leaders from all over the world are meeting there about religious persecution. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to Washington Watch.
you've seen the news. Christian cake bakers and florists were targeted by LGBT activists for their beliefs about marriage and forced out of business. The Christian adoption providers are also being targeted for believing that children deserve a mother and a father to raise them. In 3 states and 2 large cities, faith-based adoption providers have been forced out of providing needy children with stable homes because of their beliefs about marriage, and this trend shows no signs of stopping. With the adoption rate in the United States steadily dropping for the last 17 years, discriminating against faith-based adoption providers will only make the problem worse by forcing agencies who serve children in need of loving families out of the marketplace. This is why laws are needed to protect these agencies at the federal and state level. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/adoption.
Let's keep the momentum going in this fall's election by voting your values. If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand for biblical truth and fight for faith, family, and freedom in the public square. To be equipped for this mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st through 23rd in Washington, D.C., and join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Invited and confirmed speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Diamond and Silk, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. On September 21st through 23rd, stand with Values Voters to keep the momentum going. Visit valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808 for more information.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And today is the second gathering day of the Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom. Yesterday, Ambassador-at-Large Sam Brownback opened the event with a plea to fight persecution across the globe. And those in attendance got to hear from folks like Jamie Powell. She's the wife of imprisoned American pastor John Chow. She spoke on behalf of her husband, who is serving a 7-year prison sentence in China, and says he was arrested for his faith-driven work. Listen.
Many people know my husband John is a pastor, living a simple life in pursuit of spreading the word of God. Since his detainment, my husband has suffered a rapid decline in his health. He has lost 50 pounds. He's not been able to communicate with me and my children.
Well, joining us now is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council and commissioner of the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom. He's coming to us live from the event. Tony, welcome to Washington Watch, your very show.
Well, thank you for welcoming Russ, and thanks for sitting in today and filling in for me. Yes, it's been a full day here at the State Department's first ever Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom. And I'll have to say, yesterday was compelling with those stories and some more today. But what was really fascinating about today is that a lot of the time was just open mics where delegates, who some have traveled for days to get here from different parts of the world, to tell their stories, to tell the stories of those they advocate for, plead with the United States to take its leadership role on the religious freedom, and of course applaud this administration for doing that, and it really empowered these folks, and for the State Department, the Deputy Secretary of State, Ambassador Brownback sat and listened to those individuals. And it was powerful. And so I think, look, Russ, this, as I've been saying for the last couple of weeks leading into this, the fact that we had this is significant. But the message being sent around the world is that the United States, once again, is putting a priority on religious freedom. And we see it not as just an American right, but we see this as a human right. And we're going to stand up and defend those who are being persecuted for their faith.
Well, and Tony, isn't this long overdue? I mean, it really demonstrates President Trump's administration to truly addressing religious persecution. As you know, we could do a whole year of shows on those being persecuted, and folks can't help where they're born, and they're out there all on their own.
Yes, without question. And the point was made this morning by one, actually it was Mike Ferris, president of ADF, made the point that, look, this is a new day. We celebrate, we applaud this administration for taking the steps to protect religious freedom, not just here at home, but abroad. And in fact, drawing a contrast between this administration and the last administration, where the State Department, in pushing some of its policies, like the pro-abortion, pro-LGBT policies, actually was penalizing religious liberty. In certain parts of the world where religious faith runs deep, they were telling them, if you don't adopt these policies on abortion, if you don't adopt these views on same-sex marriage, we're going to withhold our money from you. And so that's a new day at the State Department. And Russ, I've said this repeatedly, it's a narrow window. I don't know how long this window of opportunity is open, but we have to advance religious freedom, this human right that gives every person the right and the freedom to choose. They can choose not to follow God, but we want to advocate for them to have that choice.
Now, Tony, I don't want to steal your thunder from tomorrow, but I know you've got some pretty good news about Pastor Brunson.
Yes. This morning we got word that he had been released to house arrest. It's a first step. It's a good step. And I know that the White House has been working to secure his release, and there's still negotiations and activities going on. I do anticipate that at some point in the near future he is going to be released. We got to continue to pray and advocate for him, but this is a good first step.
Now, you've got a big reception there today, and you're getting to actually meet these people. That has to be pretty humbling.
It is. We're people have come from around the world to be here, to be a part of this, to someone finally listening. And that's what's so powerful here. These are people, and we don't, I know we've been talking about religious discrimination in this country, but we're not talking about people being beheaded in this country. We're not talking about someone showing up at your door with a gun saying either you convert or you pay a $500,000 tax or you die, or coming in and raping your wife and your daughters. This is the kind of stuff that's happening around the globe. And so this is long overdue. And I think it's sending a message of both hope and a message that help is coming.
All right, Tony. Well, thank you for that update. We're out of time, and look forward to having you back on the show tomorrow. And we're holding the fort down here for you. Appreciate what you're doing.
Well, you're doing a great job, Russ. Thanks for filling in for me.
All right, Tony. Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, with a live update from the Ministerial of Religious Freedom that's going on there in Washington, D.C. Very important work, and undoubtedly he'll have more for us tomorrow. Well, let's open up the phone lines, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. We've got all kinds of things to talk about. What's going on in your world? I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. This is Washington Watch.
You've seen the news. Christian cake bakers and florists were targeted by LGBT activists for their beliefs about marriage and forced out of business. The Christian adoption providers are also being targeted for believing that children deserve a mother and a father to raise them. In 3 states and 2 large cities, faith-based adoption providers have been forced out of providing needy children with stable homes because of their beliefs about marriage, and this trend shows no signs of stopping. With the adoption rate in the United States steadily dropping for the last 17 years, discriminating against faith-based adoption providers will only make the problem worse by forcing agencies who serve children in need of loving families out of the marketplace. This is why laws are needed to protect these agencies at the federal and state level. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/adoption.
Let's keep the momentum going in this fall's election by voting your values. If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand for biblical truth and fight for faith, family, and freedom in the public square. To be equipped for this mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st through 23rd in Washington, D.C., and join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Invited and confirmed speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Diamond and Silk, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. On September 21st through 23rd, stand with Values Voters to keep the momentum going. Visit valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808 for more information.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices, who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's powered by the Family Research Council. It's good to be with you here today on this Wednesday. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And you know, I have been in this business for 40 years. Grew up in Kansas City. Went to the University of Missouri, studied journalism. Then I went to seminary. Actually, I have an interesting testimony. I went to St. Paul School of Theology. And United Methodist Seminary there, very left of center. But when I felt called into ministry, I honestly did not know that there were people that believed all roads lead to God. And the Bible was just a book of tales. I didn't know that. I was sheltered, I guess. I just felt called to serve the Lord and to serve God. So I went to seminary and, you know, weeks into my master's degree program, I found out that I was surrounded by folks that didn't really believe this stuff that they were teaching in the Bible. And but after a 90-hour degree program, a Master of Divinity, I actually... It was a very strenuous academic program. I gained an education that's actually served me very well because it's a Main Street theology. And I didn't know it at the time, but it equipped me, even though it wasn't their intended, it equipped me to deal with seekers and to skeptics. And now, I don't know about you, but we are living in such a time of little faith and such incivility with one another. In a light for me, sometimes, you know, you live in a season. I have been in a season that has just been an honor in many ways, serving in the Mississippi State Guard. Just recently was awarded Emergency Management Certification, which is took a lot of online studying. And recently, as you may know, I teach online for Liberty University, Media and Culture, and they just made me their subject matter expert, which is quite an honor. And right now, I currently have 45 students online. And it's interesting to hear their perspective. And the irony in all of this is that from where I'm sitting, I am 5 minutes away from Old Miss University, University of Mississippi. And I'm too conservative. I could be guest speaking there. I could be adjunct teaching there. But they have told me to my face that I'm too conservative. And to have the opportunity to teach for an organization like Liberty and to work with an organization like the Family Research Council, where your Christian worldview is expected and welcome, you know, well, that's just not a very, there's not very many of those kind of opportunities. So it's up to us to come around our young people and to equip them, give them the tools. Look, you are going to be in a jungle. If you're going into the media, I'm telling you, there is nothing easy about it. And I tell my students all the time, our material has to be as good, if not better, than the secular world. And through my career, though, I've been by some folks that, well, we're doing it for the Lord. It's, you know, we're doing it for Jesus. So, you know, we can get by on less. And no, we have to be as good, if not better, than our counterparts. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Russ, thanks for all that you do. I just wanted to bring up a topic. I just, all the corruption atop the FBI and the CIA just makes me sick. I've been in law enforcement for over 11 and a half years, worked at a couple different agencies at three different locations. And we got, and it's not the rank and file. And I think everybody understands it's the people at the top, the Brennans, the Clappers, the Muellers, the Comeys, the Strucks. And we've got a saying among the rank and file that nothing stinks worse than a dirty cop. And I tell you, we've got a boatload of dirty cops there at the top. And I'm hoping that something gets done about it. And I really think that I could see Trump getting, you know, 99% of the rank and file law enforcement will tell you nothing stinks worse than a dirty cop. And I could honestly see Trump getting over 90% of the law enforcement vote in this next election, and maybe even over 95% of the rank and file law enforcement support. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, he's very well received with law enforcement. And yesterday when he spoke in Kansas City, my hometown, in front of the veterans, you know, they just, I think most are saying the gig is up. Look, this is, we know what's really going on here. We know what's going on. And there's a lot of good people in our intelligence community, and a lot of people that are giving their lives and putting their lives on the line to keep us safe. And I'm just deeply troubled and grieved when I see the attacks on law enforcement. And it's no wonder they like him so much, because he supports them and wants them to, you know, he appreciates the sacrifice that our law enforcement gives day in and day out to keep us safe. So that's what I see. That's what I see. And that's the truth that I see. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Amy in Kentucky. Hi, Amy. Hey, Amy.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can. What's on your mind?
Okay. Well, I was just talking to, it's been a long time since I read the book 1984, but what I remember from it is that, not that, I don't remember a dictator part of it. What I remember from it is that the guy's job was to change the newspapers and to change the truth to make it say what they wanted it to say. So that makes it sound like they're right. They're like 1984. They're changing it to make it say what they wanted to say.
Yeah, it's the other way around, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you. You know, I'll be watching some channels there that I take a bullet for a lot of folks. I watch stuff that just I should get paid triple to watch because it's so painful. But I'm like, they're lying. I'm listening to this and, you know, they're just flat out making this stuff up. And the bias is absolutely incredible. Unfortunately, not too many people are listening to some of those folks.
Yeah, I think there's less and less people that actually watch news or get news from the major I think they're getting it more and more from social media, and maybe that's good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, Amy in Kentucky. Thank you. Thanks for listening to Washington Watch. Appreciate you calling. Speaking of Kansas City, let's go to Mike in Missouri. Hey, how's my Show Me State doing there today?
Oh, you know, we're like they say to hair. You know, they got to show us.
that's a little. I hear a little like heaven there. What part of Missouri are you in?
I'm about 70 miles south of St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Louis, okay. What's on your mind, Mike?
Well, you know, I'm a former Marine. I served under Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan both. And, you know, I watch Fox a lot, Fox News. I don't watch the fake news because it's just ridiculous. But, you know, they were talking about the president revoking the security clearances on, like, Clapper and Brennan and McCabe and Comey and some of the others, you know. And my personal opinion is it's long overdue. If I was the president, it had already been done a long time ago. But, you know, I'm a patriot, and you see all these people up there that were at the top in the FBI and some of these intelligence agencies, and see all the stuff they're doing to try to undermine the presidency. It's just disgusting, you know. I say more power to him if he takes away the security clearances. Like I say, I would have done it a long time ago. And another thing, you know, like your caller was talking on earlier, all the veterans I've talked to, they love Trump, and most of them just couldn't stand Obama. They were tickled to death when Trump got elected because he was not a pro-military person. He didn't really care about the military. Mm-hmm. My oldest boy was an officer in the Air Force. My youngest boy was in Naval Intelligence and worked 5 years in the NSA, assigned to the NSA. And he was so good at his craft that they wanted to send him to school to train to be a hacker for the U.S. government. But he decided to get out, work in the private sector. He can make a lot more money. He's making six figures now, and he's just 29 years old. But I'll tell you what my son told me when he worked at the NSA for 5 years. He told me, he said, Dad, I can't talk about a lot of things, but he said, I think Obama has probably done more to hurt this country than any president we've ever had. I said amen to that, son.
Okay. Mike, thanks so much. Appreciate you calling. Let's go to Mac in Mississippi. Hi, Mac. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. How you doing?
Well, this is Russ.
What's the matter? You out in the heat today or something?
Well, he's busy at an event, and I'm the producer and guest host. How you doing, Mac? What's on your mind?
Oh, I got you. I'm doing good, man. First, I want to say I love your show. Listen to you all the time. It's the first time I've called in. I thank you for what you do. You're an incredibly smart guy, and I thank the Lord that you chose the life that you have chosen.
Thank you.
I'm calling you. I'm from Ripley, and I'm actually working in Hickory Flat right now, which is not far from Ole Miss, too. And
yep.
I've got two children. I was actually planning on allowing them to go to Ole Miss someday, and I knew Ole Miss was getting a little more liberal, but I had no idea it had gotten that bad. And I'm curious to know which department I need to call down there to let them know that my children will not be attending that school because they would not allow you to come speak.
Well, that would be probably the admissions department or the office of the chancellor.
Okay, so they were charge of not allowing you to come speak?
Well, I had talked with them about possibly teaching, you know, or guest speaking there. And,
okay.
Yeah, no. Been here for about 6 years, and it was kind of an interesting process. It was very enlightening for what I do, actually, because we cover a lot of stories in academic arenas and academia, and It was a little unsettling for me to actually see up close and personal that, you know, I'm hearing about stories about universities and colleges that have just a totally unbalanced representation of worldview on their staffs. And so I experienced
sure.
it firsthand when I was told, you know, we've got some concerns about your conservative views. And I made it very clear, look, I may be a conservative, but I'm very capable of fairly grading a student based on merit. Matter of fact, when I taught at a community college in Kansas, one of my best students was an out-of-the-closet atheist. Matter of fact, he took four classes from me. And on the last day of the last class of the fourth class, he came up to me and said, Russ, you are one of my most favorite Christians. And I laughed and I said, well, back at you, you're one of my most favorite atheists. I kid you not, sitting on the front row, the first class, wearing a hammer and sickle T-shirt, bald and a beard, and I was fair with him, but he was actually a very good student, and he did. I didn't agree with a lot of the stuff that he wrote, but he was good, and he got his material in on time, and I think he learned a lot from me.
Right. Well, I mean, that's a good story, and that's the way life should be. It's okay if we disagree.
Yeah.
You know.
And I actually, Mac, I actually think conservatives are way more open than we get credit for. And I could stand in the same space and hear somebody out without getting all bent out of shape about it. But Mac, I've got to move on. We're about out of time. Thanks for calling, Mac. Let's go to Jim in North Carolina. Hi, Jim. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Welcome to America. We want our nation to be more godly. And I think that because they're accusing President Trump and all these other people of all these things, we need to just look them in the face and say, well, it takes one to know one. Or a birds of a feather stick together. So those of us who are bigots, we know each other. Paul said, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. He calls the good people bad and the bad people good. And we need to remember that when we hear the talking snake. They are calling us the bad guys when they are the bad guys. They are the liars, but they call us liars, etc. So that's my comment.
All right. Jim in North Carolina, thank you so much. Appreciate you calling. Well, we're just about out of time. Been a good show today. Great to have Tony on. That was kind of surreal to have the boss on. That was cool. Lord willing, he'll be back tomorrow, and we'll have more insights from the ministerial that's going on in Washington, D.C. First ever to gather religious leaders to talk about religious persecution. And I think it's sending a shot across the bow, across the world, that there are folks paying attention to religious persecution. And just so you know, all kinds of people are represented there, not just Christians. All kinds of walks of religious faith are there, which I also think it says quite a bit as well. And how cool to have our own Tony Perkins there and him living out the plan that God has for him to be a light in darkness, to be in the foxholes, to be standing strong in the battle. And it's an honor for me to be here with you as well. So, friends, stand strong. Thank you for being here with me today. And from Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And friends, if the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries, we'll see you tomorrow. I'm Russ Jones. Been sitting in for Tony Perkins. You've been listening to Washington Watch.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.